You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We began the program talking about relocating out of Milwaukee or out of Wisconsin because maybe the taxes are too high and maybe you are just sick and tired and sick of these politicians promising that they're going to fix public education and you want your child or your grandchild or whatever child you are taking care of to have a better chance at getting a good education. Could be the economy. Maybe it's moving too slow. It's not offering enough here in Wisconsin. Maybe it could be the housing and real estate shortage that is driving you to relocate to other places. I also listed the top states that people are choosing to move to when they, in fact, move out of Wisconsin. Illinois topped the list. Other appearances on that list were Minnesota, Texas, Tennessee, and Florida. We also talked about some of the failures of democratic socialism because some of the policies are, in fact, very difficult to implement, and no executive can implement democratic socialist policies on their own. You need to have help from a legislature, that can be favorable to some of your proposals. And we were just going through a couple of the things that Zoran Mamdani promised in New York, because there are some folks that believe that his ideas and his proposals could be the answer to what ails us here in Milwaukee. One of those proposals was universal child care. It has now been scaled to limited pilots rather than immediate comprehensive free coverage. And if I'm not mistaken, Francesca Hong is promising something similar in her run for governor. Early partnerships with the New York State governor, Catherine Hochul, secured funding for a, quote, two-care pilot. Initially, 2,000 seats for two-year-olds in select districts in New York, and later on expanding, and 3K improvements, far short of campaign visions of free child care from 6 weeks / infancy across the board or rapid full universally. Full rollout remains a multi-year and state-dependent, broader, and under-5 coverage is not secured. Ambitious universal free programs face capacity, quality, workforce, and ongoing funding hurdles that pilots only partially address. So they went from having universal free child care from infants up until whatever age to only having a very select program with only 2,000 seats available. City-owned grocery stores, one per borough, selling at wholesale-like prices. That, of course, was a campaign promise of Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani. Viral campaign ideas saw no openings in the first many months. Instead, modest planning, $70 million have been allocated for scouting and building these grocery stores, and proposals with one site drawing scrutiny for consuming a large share of the grocery store market. Facing lawsuits from businesses and other groups over unfair competition and market disruption, government-run retail of this type historically risks inefficiency, shortages, or high taxpayer costs without solving the underlying supply / price drivers of increased costs for our food. The housing voucher expansion that Zoran Mamdani promised New Yorkers, it's been reversed or it's been heavily diluted. Explicit campaign pledge to expand eligibility and drop Mayor Adams-era litigation blocking council-backed expansion of affordable housing was abandoned amid the budget hole. The administration continued legal efforts against the broader expansion, cost concerns, and the billions it would cost over years. Budget deals created a narrower, new, limited program instead of the promised scale of reduced housing costs across New York City. Homeless advocates called it a complete betrayal of a core commitment to the most vulnerable. So I'm just going through the list of promises that Zohan Mamdani made that are not coming to fruition. But this is to be expected. I'm providing this information for those that think that all of such programs could be implemented here in the state of Wisconsin if, and it's a big if, Franny Pants gets elected governor. I promise you if she gets elected governor, I will stop calling her Franny Pants because that's actually disrespectful. It is. I will call her Governor Franny Pants. See, I'm a respectful guy. I would not just call her Franny Pants if she was the governor. Governor Franny Pants. And I'm sure if she got elected governor, we could probably have her back on the show. I'm sure she'd want to come and visit and talk to you all. And I would say, hey, everybody, stay tuned because we're going to have Governor Franny Pants on the show. She might get mad at that, but what do you want me to do?
Will you call that? Call her that to her face?
Franny Pants?
Yes.
She's in my phone as Franny Pants.
So when you talk to her, you say, hey, Franny Pants.
I think that she would get a kick out of it.
I think so, too. Especially her one-piece suits that she wears.
I don't know what to make of those. She looks like she's ready to go do some construction in those.
Sometimes people have to have, like, their costume or uniform.
Either way, running for office is not a fashion statement. You know what I mean? I've seen all sorts of weird fashion on this campaign trail. The New York City Housing Authority / public housing funding fell short of campaign levels in the budget. Library funding faced cuts, prompting accusations of broken support pledges. Some education class sizes mandates faced delay talk for cost reasons. Homeless encampment approaches were adjusted after winter storms. Rent freezes itself, delivered for 1 million units, is very limited or regulated stock to 40% of rentals. Landlord lawsuits, distress claims over maintenance incentives, and does not address supply shortages or non-stabilized renting units. Classic critiques of price controls, reducing investment / upkeep over time. These patterns, ambitious, universal, free promises, meeting power limits, cost overruns or underfunding, scaled pilots instead of systemic change, incentive distortions, housing, investment, business location, and dependence on higher levels of government or accounting shifts recur in critiques of democratic socialist policies. They do not prove every incremental progressive policy fails, but they demonstrate why comprehensive social democratic expansions often prove politically and economically constrained in practice. Federalist systems like the U.S., particularly without broad consensus on things like taxes, growth, or institutional control. Outcomes continue to evolve. Early polls show mixed approval amid some wins, but the gap between campaign poetry and governing constraints is evident. So that is what you all can expect from some of the really fantastic ideas and promises that are offered by democratic socialists. You know what I should do? I don't do this often enough. I don't check our text line. And chances are none of y'all have texted, because if I don't read them, then you all probably don't send the text. Yeah, there's none. Maybe we should start including text messages again. 833-212-1017 if you'd like to send a text. Or what most people are doing is they're participating in the YouTube chat, which a lot of times is just people in the YouTube chat talking amongst themselves, you know, talking about where they're going for lunch, who has the best chicken wings, who has the sexiest legs, who will or will not be invited to my exclusive Halloween costume party. Al Walters says, oh boy, we got another sit-down pee defender. He says, if you must know, and I bet he says it with his hand on his hip, there are other countries where men sit down to pee. That is because when you're using the toilet, Water and the urine splashes everywhere. No one likes the cleanup splash. What? So just say you're a sit-downer. I think y'all need to identify yourselves. If you're a sit-down to pee man, you need to wear a badge so we can identify you. So we can cast you out of regular genteel society. Wear like a pink hat.
This kind of triggered you, huh?
I don't like it. I don't like that women can have the influence on how men relieve themselves biologically. That's insane. Like, what if we told a bunch of women instead? Like, we can't tell women anything. We can't. Because it's toxic. You can. No, you can't.
I tell women to do things all the time.
In the bedroom is different. That's totally different. Then
in and out.
Put a collar on them in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
But in real life, you can't walk around with a woman on a leash. People would frown.
Yeah, you can. You haven't seen that? Walking around with a woman on a leash?
No! Not unless it's, like here at the Third Street Market Hall, there's no men walking around with a collared woman.
Well, I can change that.
No, you wouldn't.
Are you kidding me?
I don't want to know about.
Women love to be collared and walked around.
Dude, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. With our radio station... Our demographic is women. What is it, age 25 to 34? They're not going to want to hear about you collaring them.
Well, only willing participants.
Yeah, you got to get consent for that.
Yes.
But even if a woman said, yeah, Sherwin, throw this leash on me. Let's go for
for a walk. Take her for a walk.
She starts jumping up and down. You want to go for a walk? Yeah. I wouldn't do it in public.
Really?
Yes. Sherwin Hughes walking around with a leashed woman?
Yeah.
No, people would take pictures and they would say very bad things about
her. She's consenting, though.
Yeah, but that's still, it's tacky. To have a leashed. We shouldn't even be talking about this. I feel like this is very anti-feminist.
No, it's pro-feminist because some feminists like to be collared and walked around. Sometimes they like to release some of their power. You know, some women are executives and they lord over women, over men and women all day, and sometimes they just want to feel like they're not in control.
All right, then. Would you let a woman put a collar on you and walk you around in public?
No, that's not my thing.
So hang on a second. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. You would put a collar and a leash on a woman but wouldn't let a woman. What if she said, we're going to be fair about this? She'll say, hey, X, you can collar me this weekend, but next Tuesday, let's go to Mayfair Mall, and I want to put a collar and a leash on you.
No, that's not going to happen. See, those are two
that's
different
things. Because you're a chauvinist. You're a misogynist. You would do it to her, if you would collar her, why wouldn't you put the collar on?
Well, we could talk about a lot of things I would do to women that I wouldn't let him do to me. Or, you know, and vice versa. You know, it's not all the same.
Lady B says, Sherwin, you better invite me to this damn Halloween party. First of all, I don't know what you look like. We got to get to the bottom of this because Lady B has been throwing it at me for months. You know what? Come on, lady. Send me a picture.
Yeah, just tell her to send a text. I mean, send a picture to the text line. You know, you said we need to start using it. Start sending your women if you're auditioning for Sherwin. Just start sending your photos to the text line.
We can't say they're auditioning for me.
Oh, okay.
That's not. I'm just curious because I can kind of tell.
We're curious what you look like
from her her little picture, little profile picture on YouTube. What if I click it? Will it make the picture?
Yeah, you can go to it. Click go to profile. I mean, go to channel and you can, you know, see.
It doesn't let me.
I'll do it. 1 second.
My only options are I can report her or block her. But it's just like a little tiny, like a little side profile of her face. Lady B, we got to make sure, you know, that.
Well, I just clicked on her page, and it's literally just only her eye. So you're not missing anything. So, yeah, Lady B, you know, we want to see what you look like.
Hold on, I know. We, this is Martin, this is me. Yeah. You get your own. Get Linda.
Well, I'm curious of what she looks like. You know, it's for you, but I just want to see.
You need to mind your business.
What do you mean? You're asking me, oh, let me see a picture of the girl you talking to.
Because I want to know what your style and what your taste is in women.
I have a lot of different styles and tastes.
Because the ones you showed me, eh.
What?
Not an eh.
Which one?
Eh. You need to answer this phone call.
Buddy. OnlyFans ones were really hot, weren't they?
Nah.
You didn't like those girls?
I don't like because they were. She was like had implants.
Well, that was injection. Only the one had implants.
I don't do all that. Dude, you're gonna get me in trouble talking about this stuff, especially. Uh oh. Why don't we do this? Take a break. Come back. We'll take a phone call on the other side. I want to introduce a topic to you all because some of you may think that integration was a tremendous failure because once we integrated, it put us closer to white supremacy and racism, and maybe that is why the disparities seem to be so entrenched. Have you all considered maybe we should have our own black colony, our own black city where everything is controlled by black people and there's no impact or influence from whiteness and white supremacy and institutional and structural racism? Do you think that'd be a good idea? I want you to think about that. Should we separate? Would it just be a novel idea? Because if we're trying new things, especially if we're trying new things politically and socially, like democratic socialism, maybe black people should start. We'll buy a bunch of land. We'll put some infrastructure on it. We'll have only black-owned businesses. It'll be like a black Wall Street all over again. But we will build it. Our own schools where we can educate our children to the levels that satisfy us as a community. We'll have our own hospitals. We'll have our own research facilities. We'll have our own libraries. What if we could just put together, and it would start as a small little pilot. We'd buy a bunch of land somewhere. We'd get all the necessary permits and approval, and we'd have our own law enforcement, right? If we would have our own law enforcement, then maybe we wouldn't have some of the disparities in policing and some of the police brutality. I want you to think about that. And also, if we came up with this idea, I'm sure that there are people that would absolutely help us. They would help us remove ourselves from society and start our own colony. So I want you to give this some thought. Everything would be owned and controlled by us. The government's owned and controlled by us. The businesses, the boards, the business improvement districts, all of that. The construction of houses and rental houses, we would control all of it. All of the infrastructure, all of the child care, all of the schools, all the higher education would be owned, run, and controlled by black people in a way that addresses our specific cultural needs. I want you to give that some thought. I'm going to take a break, come back. I'm going to grab a telephone call. And then I want to introduce to you a place that actually has such an idea. And maybe this is what we've been missing. Maybe instead of trying to reform a system that seems to be really stubborn and slow, maybe we just buy some land and just create our own city, our own black utopia. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Our phone number is 833-212-1017, 833-212-1017. You can call or you can text. And you can text pictures, too. Lady B said she is going to dress as a chocolate bar to my Halloween party. But first, Lady B, you actually have to get invited. This is going to be a very, very exclusive party. Very exclusive. Nothing but A-listers. And top prize is $1,000, not $500. You better bring your best. I have not quite decided who I'm going to invite. It's going to be very limited. It's going to be very exclusive. No photographs, ladies and gentlemen. I'm serious. No pictures. I want people to have a real good time and not have to worry about some of their activities being exposed. No pictures. No.
Activities being exposed.
I just want people to have a good time. I don't like when somebody is out in public and they're dancing like nobody is watching. And there's always some fool who's recording. We ain't got to do all that. Let people be free. Let them just enjoy themselves instead of being a part of somebody's Instagram reel. Don't do that to people. Get somebody's permission. Even though I know if you're in public, there's no expectation of privacy. I just think it's tacky because if I'm not asking to be recorded, don't put me in your record. I'm out here thotting it up. I'm having a real good time. I may not want everybody to see what I'm doing, but here you are walking around with a damn camera. Don't do that. Let's talk to someone who knows all about privacy. Hello, Al. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I think Lady B, if I'm not mistaken, she's a beautiful woman. So I think you would be very pleased, and I think she got a fat kuka.
Hey, Al, so, you know her? Have you seen her before?
I don't know. I've seen her before, but she's a beautiful woman. And I bet you that moose knuckle was fat. So you would
what
be
do you
pleased.
Mean by that?
But okay. Moving forward, I don't think it would be wise for black people to have their own right now. Because number one, we don't have the love and care we should have. Number two, we have too many Uncle Ruckus. And number three, black people like to compete with each other. So I think that would be horrible right now. Let's not forget about the religious folks. Because, you know, some of the religious folks, some of those are competing spirits. And don't let that woman have a whole lot of breath, a whole lot of body, and her husband, who probably ain't touching, don't want to buy her a pizza, getting eyes with somebody else. I think that'll be horrible. Right now, I think integration would be good because, number one, some people want to live in peace and harmony. Number two, they're going to ask about where their boat is. Number three, they're going to be about change. And black people can have change right now. They just have to recognize the power of their vote and their mindset. And y'all got to start demanding stuff about your politicians and your black politicians who's taking up space. If they're not giving you what they want, if they're not giving you what you want, you tell your black politician, get your black ass out. You're taking up too much space, and you find somebody else to get in that position. The reason why we're in this place is because nobody recognizes our power, and black people don't recognize their power, their vote, their mindset, and their logic. So that's why they're doing it, because if black people recognize all that, it will be hell on earth. So if black people won't change, they got to do part, take pride in yourself, take pride in your community, and start demanding. And if they don't do what they got to do, get your stuff and get the F out, and you don't care where they go. But that's all I would have to say. I know in Down Bayou, Mississippi, they do all that. But remember, those are Bible thumpers. And dealing with a lot of Bible thumpers, you're going to deal with a lot of hypocrites. Because I'm going to be the ones you dipping off and taking behind the church house when you're ready to get them yams or you're getting ready to bust that nut. And then when that child come here looking for a father, everybody being quiet with their face in that Bible because somebody didn't pull out. But they did use their hips when they put it in. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Swallowed up. Have you ever been swallowed up?
If our biggest threat, enemy, and impediment to process is structural and institutional racism in a society where white people get the benefit of the doubt, doesn't it make sense for us to create a new space, place, city, town, colony that is free from all of that? What is that place called in California? Oh, my goodness. It's Slab City. It's basically, because of where it exists, it's in between jurisdictions, and there's no law enforcement. Anybody that moves there, you are subject to the jurisdiction of the rules that people that live in Slab City come up with. And it's for off-the-grid people, people that don't want to be in the rat race of society anymore. You move to Slab City, you take your motor home, your RV, whatever it is, and you find yourself a plot of land, and you can live. Now, there is some crime and there is some murder, but, you know, neither here nor there. But it's people that got tired of living in this traditional American system. They formed their own little place. It's called Slab City. There's a lot of stuff written about it. There's a lot of documentaries written on it. Now, it's not run very well, but I think because black people have so much history of being very organized, and I believe that we also are the curators of early civilization, so it's in us to be very civilized. And I think what turns us against one another is there are these standards that are set by an outside group that does not have African Americans' interests in mind. And sometimes we assimilate, and those that assimilate represent the standards of whiteness, which is sometimes antithetical to African American progress. It's really, really complicated, but it doesn't have to be. So what if we just formed our own colony? Would anybody have a problem with that? Is it at least worth trying? Because there's a group of Caucasians that are doing exactly that. And so I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I'm going to talk about inside this exclusive whites-only town. It's right outside the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas. And I don't want any of you to call it racist, because if white people decide that they want to find some little area somewhere that's not inhabited and they want to have their own and they want to be amongst one another and practice whatever rituals or religions or whatever community that they want to build without the influence of other people, I think that that's perfectly fine that they do that. But I know how some African Americans are. We may be in love with the idea of us starting our own place, space, city, town, municipality, or colony. But if white people do it, we probably call it racist. Not only will we call it racist, I guarantee there's a black person that would die to move in. They would, Xavier, why would you want to move there?
No. I know of a thing that you're talking about, and I know of some black people that tried to move there.
It's about respect. If white people want to go and isolate themselves and form their own town, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I respect them enough to say, oh, no, you, this is yours. You guys can have it. I don't need to do anything with this. I don't need to visit or anything.
You never heard of that town in Tennessee that they were trying to build?
They have them actually all over the place. Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is one of them. There's this place that I'm going to talk about on the other side of the break that's in Arkansas. I think it's perfectly fine. Not hurting nobody. I think, if anything, black folks might get jealous that we don't have such a town. So we'll talk about that on the other side. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Milwaukee, don't miss it. The 101.7 Truth Family Fest is happening Saturday, August 22nd. It's going to start at 11 a.m. and go until 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School. It's free. There's going to be music, family fun, community resources, and back-to-school support. Want to be a vendor or a sponsor? Visit truthfamilyfest.com or email sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. That's Sierra, C-I-E-R-R-A, at MilwaukeeBlackMedia.com. Thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, artists working in education, and Ascension Healthcare for making it possible. Can't wait to see everybody at Truth Family Fest. Maybe I'll take sign-ups for my Halloween party at Truth Family Fest. Hope Lady B is going to be there. Dress to impress me. I'm the only one you should be dressing to impress. Xavier, you took some heat in the YouTube comments because you're hypocritical, they think, because you were asking for a picture of another woman, but you won't even get on the camera.
Well, they're auditioning for you, for lack of a better term. I don't need to send pictures to someone that I'm not applying to go to their party.
Casey Grayjack says, real men pee in the sink.
If you have to.
Guilty.
I have.
Of course. Sometimes, what are you going to do? You can't always wait for the ideal facility. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Not in like a home sink.
I've peed everywhere. You name it.
No, I don't want to name it. I don't want to name it because I believe you. Man, I really want to ask this question, but I don't think it's appropriate for daytime radio.
Yes, you can.
You know what? It's a very, I don't want to say it. It's you're going to have to read between the lines a little bit here. It's a very specific type of shower.
Oh, yes.
You've done that before?
Oh, giving someone a nice shower? Yeah, I've given someone a nice little shower to help them out, get clean.
No. You know what kind I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. Why? You never given anyone
that's
a shower?
Just, whoa! I know you lying. You ain't no way you're being serious, dude. That's
why did you say that?
Is Zach in there?
No, he's not. They have a little meeting going on.
Oh, I think we have the same meeting tonight, right? Don't we have a staff meeting tonight?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're supposed to know this stuff, man. You've done that before?
Yeah, you know, you help someone get a nice shower, get cleaned up. You never give anyone a nice shower to help them clean up a little bit?
We're not talking about the same thing here. I'm talking about a shower with water.
Yes.
And soap.
Yep.
Oh, that's, yeah, of course I've showered with somebody. You do that to conserve water.
Yeah. And, you know.
And what? And what?
Know, and, you know, you just help them get clean, you scrub them off, help them get in their hair, and their, sometimes they like to swish it around in their
get
mouth.
Get the phone, dude. Good God, I'm going to get canceled. And here I am thinking that Al was going to be the one to cancel me. I'm about to over here cancel myself. This guy's, what's wrong with you? Okay, where are we at here? I was going to, where is it? Did I lose my damn story? Hold on, here it is. I'm flabbergasted. Inside America's whites-only town, where new arrivals are vetted to help preserve European identity. Tucked away in the Ozarks of Arkansas is a small community of around 40 residents. Homestead developments like this are not unusual in rural America, but what sets this one apart is who is allowed to live there. Applications are open exclusively to white candidates who are full European ancestry. They must reject homosexuality and embrace what founder Eric Orwell describes as traditional European values. Let's talk to D. You're on 101.7 The Truth. How are you?
I'm well. Were you speaking of a bidet or a G shower?
Do we really want to talk about this, D? And no, it's not a bidet.
So then it's the second one.
Yes. Have you ever done that before?
Heck no. No.
Good.
Never even thought about it.
Good.
What about you, Sherwin?
What about me?
Because I don't think that Zach knew what you were expecting. I mean, he knew what you were speaking of because he said he did it. I don't think so.
You don't think that my producer has done that kind of shower before? You must not know him.
Oh, because he said that he, you know, used soap and all that. I didn't.
You should have seen his face while he was saying it. He's talking about the same kind of shower me and you talking about, the one that starts with a G. That's disgusting. We don't do that around here.
That we sure do not. We sure do not. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye, D. D can come to the Halloween party. I like her style.
Oh, you like the way she sounds?
I like that.
Oh, send in a photo.
Stop asking these women for pictures. Somebody's going to think that we're creepy. I don't need to see the pictures of all these women. I like their vibe. Her vibe, she was just kind of fun, kind of upbeat. That's the kind of people I want in my very exclusive Halloween party. Maybe I should post more details about my very exclusive upscale Halloween party where no photographs are going to be allowed. On the Hughes Views 414 YouTube page. Go ahead and subscribe to that if you want to stay updated on things. And also, in the evenings, I do a broadcast where we recap some of the things on this program and also might discuss news that may have broke after I get off of the air. I suppose I'll do a broadcast tonight. I think I might have. We got that staff meeting tonight, though. And if it runs over, then I might be late jumping on my YouTube. Oh, make sure on August 11th you're tuned into the Hughes Views 414 YouTube channel because myself and Dr. Ken Harris are going to be doing a broadcast covering the election. That is going to be 1 week from today. We're going to go live at 7 p.m. on August 11th. We're going to bring you some details and some election results and just our very colorful commentary about a most watched Democratic primary election in Wisconsin. Homestead developments like this are not unusual in rural America, but what sets this one apart is who is allowed to live there. Applications are open exclusively to white candidates who are full European ancestry. They must reject homosexuality and embrace what founder Eric Orwell describes as traditional European values. I don't have a problem with this at all, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't. I don't mind it. If there are white people that want to go and separate and a part of rural America where they're not bothering nobody, they're not harming anybody, I say they should be able to do it. And also think that if African Americans want to have their own place and space that is free from the impact and influence of structural and institutional racism, I think that we should be able to do the same thing. And it's not, even to disrespect white people. It's just there's some black people that would rather live in seclusion and in a kind of segregation because, believe it or not, there is a cohort of African Americans that think that integration is very bad, that it's been harmful, that when we are closer to what our natural enemy has been since our inception in this country, it allows them access to us and our future that can diminish our opportunities. Orwell leads Return to the Land, a private white separatist membership association with over 1,000 members. Only a handful of families, however, are selected to live on the 165-acre Arkansas settlement near the town of Ravenden, where idyllic social media videos show goats and chickens roaming the grounds, children playing, and members building wooden homes and churches. But behind the tranquil homestead lies a community whose leaders promote hard right ideology online, while its children are homeschooled and taught that even historical atrocities such as the Holocaust and slavery have two sides to the story. At a time when much of the Western world celebrates diversity and multiculturalism, Orwell has emerged as one of the most outspoken advocates for racial separation. Orwell doesn't believe that this movement is racist. Speaking to the DailyMail.com, he repeatedly insisted that Return to the Land is about, quote, preserving European identity rather than promoting white supremacy. And again, if this is what they want to do, that has no impact on us. They're in Arkansas, somewhere near the Ozark Mountains. What impact does that have on us here in the city of Milwaukee? And maybe, just maybe, it could provide a blueprint if we ever wanted to do something similar, right? Take a break, come back. I guess this is my last break of the program. Wow, where did this show go? What did we even discuss today?
Zoran Mandani sitting down peeing and taking the proper showers.
I don't know if everybody was picking up what you were putting down, talking about those specific kinds of showers, but I just, that's not for me. But
it's
if
a
you want to
shower,
do it,
you know, you just get in, get
stop,
clean.
Stop describing it. We know what kind of shower it is. It's the kind of shower that requires you to be very hydrated.
Correct.
But you also said that you would walk a woman on a leash. That's not.
That's nice.
Not in public. You got to do
some
it.
Some women like that.
If a woman asked you to bark like a dog in private, would you do it?
Yeah, I probably have done it involuntarily.
Huh?
Or voluntarily, I should say.
What else have you done?
So many things.
You've told us that you sat down to pee before.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a reason why I sat down to pee, you know. You know, you wake up in the morning, you got the wood going on.
No, don't explain it. You've done it before. All right.
Yes.
You bark like a dog before.
Well, I haven't, but I would.
Let me hear how it would sound if you were to bark like a dog. If somebody told you to bark like a dog. Okay.
You know, when you're going in, I guess I could do that this weekend when I'm, you know, you know, somebody. I won't get too graphic, but yeah.
Is this the one with the one dreadlock?
She has a couple dreadlocks, yes. Okay.
But not a full head of dreads.
Oh, no.
You got a picture of her?
Yes.
Show Nitty. Don't even show me. Show Nitty a picture of what she looks like.
Oh, jeez. I got to go through my thing. I can't, you know.
Oh, you got a lot of pictures.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I tell people don't scroll when I show them a picture on my phone. Yep. I said don't scroll. Remember I handed you the phone for Francesca Hong to take that photo? I just, you know, I just did the Instagram thing because I didn't want you to possibly actually scroll.
Nah, good.
Over.
I don't want to see what's in your phone.
Yeah, you don't want to see
that
kind
of stuff. That's disgusting.
I
already know what you into. You into freak stuff.
Normal stuff.
See, this is why you shouldn't be voting for Democratic Socialists, y'all, because they do freak stuff.
No.
Yeah, huh? I'm going to take a commercial break. Al gave some really insightful commentary on what he thinks that Francesca is into personally. And he did it on, he said it on the Hughes Views 414 podcast last night. So if you go and watch last night's program, what do we call last night's show? Last night's show was called, because I want you to hear what Al said about, it's called Non-Inclusive. So that was the title of yesterday's Hughes Views 414 podcast. And Al, upon looking at Francesca Hong, he made some assessments about what her personal life is like. I just found it very insightful. So let's take a break, come back, continue our conversation. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be back shortly.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. For almost 100 years, they've been committed to helping families protect what matters most, your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you're building every single day. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance, SI and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin. Oh, speaking of bloody revolution in Madison, Wisconsin, the autonomous zone has been broken up, and rightfully so. Bunch of people camping out in the middle of the street pretending it's a protest. Oh, stop it. It's a cosplay for a George Floyd protest. They were trying to mimic what they were doing in Seattle and Portland. Please stop. If you look at the racial disparities between black people and white people in Madison, stop pretending y'all care about black people. You're doing it as a reason to sow anarchy, and I see through it. Oh, I have one here for you. This comes from Madison365.com, since we're talking about Madison. You ready for this? Nitty, anything you want to say? I was going to give you an opportunity if you wanted to.
Bill, out of 248 in 6 years. That's all I got to say.
No, that's not the subject we was talking about. That's not. Don't do have, it. Don't.
I have it. Sat down in the morning to urinate.
I didn't want you to say that, Nitty.
I've sat down in the morning to urinate, fresh out the bed. Yeah, it's not like every day sit, every encounter I'm sitting, but. 43 now, Sherwin. I think I'm 42, but I feel like I think I'm 43. Yeah, bro. I start my day with a sitting sugar honey iced tea.
Papa Squatted. All right. That's
Papa Squatted. It might change your life.
No, it won't. My life is great exactly how it is. Forward thinking and conscientious Middleton High School student. Lou Blank has spent a lot of time dedicating himself to research on racial disparities in Madison and throughout the state. His investigations have unearthed plenty of disappointing disparities, but what he most recently found made him sick to his stomach. Of the 56 black neighborhoods in the state of Wisconsin, 31 or 55% of black neighborhoods in Wisconsin are jails. Furthermore, almost every single black neighborhood in the entire state of Wisconsin is either a jail or low-income housing. Blank recently laid out his findings in a series of maps that reinforce the dismal state of African-American men in Wisconsin. The impetus for all this research came to Blank at the beginning of the year when he started checking out the racial dot map that places one dot per person on a map colored by race. Blank started to compare the images on the racial dot map to images on Google Maps and other online resources. Quote, as I researched, I began to find these isolated black neighborhoods in the middle of nowhere on these maps in almost every state, Blank tells Madison365.com. I started matching them to Google Maps imagery. I checked the addresses. I double-checked. I even triple-checked. Blank has a passion for social and racial justice since he first started attending Young, Gifted, and Black protests at the beginning of last year, specifically after the death of Tony Robinson. He said, that got me motivated to do research and start looking at the racial dot map specifically, he says. His first venture was examining the shocking racial gaps in Madison, which Blank wrote about in February, that explained the racial disparities in Madison through a geographic, and economic lens. That first research led him to his second piece of black neighborhoods and jails. There was this piece of information that in the original one about Green Bay, that was the first jail I found, and that shocked me, he remembers. I saw this one isolated black neighborhood in a field of white residences. That was the first one. That seemed weird to Blank, as he soon found black neighborhoods in even smaller Wisconsin cities. There are ones in Bosco Bell, Chippewa Falls, Deerfield, New Lisbon, Oregon, Plymouth, and Waupun. He inspected further. All of them were jails. Blank did more research and found out that this was an epidemic everywhere. 31 of the 56 majority black neighborhoods in Wisconsin are, in fact, jails. And I found out that the places that weren't jails weren't great places to be either. They were homeless shelters, Section 8 housing, food deserts, etc. Of the black neighborhoods in Wisconsin that aren't jails, Blank found that 21 or 38% are apartment complexes, Section 8 housing, and in most cases, both. Two are homeless shelters, and one is a Job Corps center. The only one left is Milwaukee's general residential black neighborhood, which overall is doing very poorly. Quote, the neighborhoods varied in size. The process was about finding an unbroken area. He said he did look at a few definitions of, quote, neighborhood, Blank says. There was also a disclaimer in there that says the jails in Milwaukee were listed separately because specifically the metropolitan area of Milwaukee is 77% white. The fact that these jails were almost entirely black really highlights the racial disparities. So that goes back to something I said earlier. What if we created our own black neighborhood, our own black space that wasn't a jail, that wasn't a food desert, that wasn't Section 8 housing? Like, this is really, really disturbing. Now, this story is old, but it's still impactful nonetheless, that of the 56 identified majority black neighborhoods in the state of Wisconsin, 31 of them are jails. An additional set of neighborhoods that are not jails are either apartment complexes that are mostly Section 8 housing. So if you have this group of folks that are in the Ozarks in Arkansas that are creating their own white colony where you have to be approved to live there because they want to be free from multiculturalism, and maybe that hurts our feelings a little bit that there are people that don't want to live around us. If some people want to do that, they're not harming or hurting anybody, then why shouldn't they? But this is very disheartening that a majority of black neighborhoods in the state of Wisconsin are, in fact, jails. Thank you for listening. It's been an absolute pleasure. The Lunch Break with Maybe Shannon and Ray Nitti is up next.